Just your reaction to what they did, and let's not. I'm trying to separate the Nets from the Knicks and why the Nets are receiving all the praise. If you take out the fact that everyone's turning down the New York Knicks,
yes.
Did the Nets really
heard they
win?
Asked Willis Reed to come back.
No. Did the Nets win yesterday?
Well, they won in this sense, and of course, there's going to be overreaction to signing Durant and Irving because everything is overreacted to in the world nowadays. What they did by signing Durant and Irving was they made themselves relevant. They've already improved themselves. They made the playoffs this year. They have a young general manager in Sean Marks who apparently knows what he's doing. They have a very good coach in Kenny Atkinson, who I've known going back to his days as a player at Richmond. So they've made themselves into a respectable franchise, which that alone for the Mets, and also for the Mets, if we were talking baseball, is progress. And by signing Durant, even though he won't play next year, they have given themselves legitimate buzz and relevance in New York. The Knicks own New York and have owned New York the way the Rangers own New York in hockey, because they've been around forever, because they play in Madison Square Garden, because there are people of my generation who still remember Willis Reed and Walt Frazier and Bill Bradley and Dave DeBuscher and Earl Monroe. And the Nets play in Brooklyn. Look, I'm a New York guy. Brooklyn, and my dad grew up in Brooklyn, so I'm not putting Brooklyn down, but it's not New York. Manhattan is New York. I mean, when you say you're going to New York, it means you're going to Manhattan. If you're going to Brooklyn or Queens or Staten Island or the Bronx, you say you're going to Brooklyn. But they now have a legitimate superstar under contract who won't play for a year, and they have a guy who can be spectacular at times and who will help draw fans, no question, and who should make them better. Now, having said that, I don't think they've built a championship team. I mean, if I'm building a championship team, Kyrie Irving isn't part of it. Kevin Durant will be 33 going on 34 by the time he plays again. He's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. Does adding an older Kevin Durant and a flighty Kyrie Irving to what you have, and it appears they're going to lose Russell, that he's going to go in some kind of sign-and-trade deal, D'Angelo Russell, does that make you a championship team? I don't think so, but it does make you relevant.
And now to the Knicks, where no one wants to play for the New York Knicks. Nope. And Paul, we were discussing right before you came on about how the Nets are being overly hyped and praised for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what the Knicks did, which was nothing, and they have two open spots for max contracts. It's not like right. They had to go sign Durant or Kyrie Irving, but use those open max contract spots to do something, and they couldn't.
Yeah, and you want to use at least one, if not both of them. Maybe you say, well, we'll wait till next year for the other. Next year's free agent class isn't nearly as sexy as this year's. But if only to soothe your fans who are angry now. I was up in, you know, I was in Hartford 2 weeks ago, and during my trip up and back, I listened to WFAN in New York, and I mean, Knicks fans are just furious with what's gone on, and legitimately so. They should be furious. And James Dolan is probably the second worst owner in sports behind Dan Snyder, and clearly nobody wants to play for him. And here's the thing. Years and years ago, if you were a superstar, you wanted to be in New York or Los Angeles for marketing purposes, to get sponsorships and things like that, to be in one of the two biggest cities in the country. Nowadays, that doesn't matter. You know, LeBron James can be the biggest name in the sport playing in Cleveland. Michael Jordan was the biggest name in the sport by far playing in Chicago. Now, Chicago is a huge city, but it's not New York or L.A. It doesn't have the sex appeal of either one. It doesn't matter anymore. Guys aren't looking and saying, oh, Madison Square Garden, the Met guy, get to play there. No, they don't care, especially with who is the owner and especially with the track record of this team. And the fact that they traded Porzingis allegedly to open up cap space and now they're not using the cap space, if you're a Knicks fan, and I grew up a Knicks fan, by the way. I'm not anymore because of Dolan and because of Pat Riley before him, but – If you're a Knicks fan, I record my CBS Minutes with a young guy in New York who is a Knicks fan, avid Knicks fan, grew up a Knicks fan. And he almost literally didn't want to speak to me this morning because he's so upset about what the Nets did and about what the Knicks didn't. I have a feeling he speaks for many.
John, what jumps out to me about NBA free agency now and these astronomically high numbers, it's not what Kevin Durant's getting paid or what Kawhi Leonard's about to get paid or Kemba Walker or the superstars. It's when I see Tobias Harris sign for $180 million for Philadelphia. I like Tobias Harris. He played at the University of Tennessee. He's a really good player.
Yep.
But $180 million and the fact that that is where we are right now with the NBA and salaries is just crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's monopoly money, Chad. Yeah, I mean, it really is. And, you know, I mean, think about this. Durant signed for $164 million to not play next year, by the way, one of the 4 years on the deal. And that was less than he could have gotten if he decided to stay with Golden State. I mean, you're right. I mean, the money is the money's so big, Chad, I don't even notice it anymore. You know, that Tobias Harris, $180 million. I noticed that it was like a little footnote that J.J. Redick signed for 2 years for $27 million. And that sounds like not much. I mean, J.J. Redick's like 34 years old. He's going to get paid $13.5 million bucks the next 2 years. I'd sign for that. But it is what the market will bear. And the NBA managed to – Adam Silver's done a great job as commissioner. He's done a couple things. One, he managed to get this humongous TV contract out of ESPN and Turner. I don't know how he did it because the ratings, when they signed that contract, hadn't been that high in recent years. I mean, they were okay, but it's almost an NFL-type contract. Nothing's the NFL, but it's that big. And that's why the salary cap has gone up so much. And the other thing Silver has done, and with others involved, obviously, is he's managed to follow the Roger Goodell model of keeping your league in the headlines almost year-round. And we all know with the NFL, the minute the Super Bowl's over, everybody starts talking about the combine and then free agency and then the draft and then OTAs and then mini camps. Paul knows this. He lives it, right?
Yep.
And then training camp, and then you're back in the regular season. Well, the NBA is almost exactly that way. Finals end, draft comes up, free agency comes up, summer leagues come up, and then you're back in training camp again because the season's so long.
Should free agent should free agency means, though happen before the draft in the NBA?
Should free agency happen before the draft? That's a great question, and it's just, it's one I haven't really considered, Jonathan, because I'm not sure it's ever come up as a possibility. I don't see why not. I mean, it certainly could, and it would give. The problem, though, Jonathan, is free agency, even though it appears like it takes place in 48 hours, they'll be still signing free agents 2-3 weeks from now.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't say, okay, well, when we get around to finishing free agency, then we'll have the draft. The kids have a right to know where they're going or not going.
Don't know where Kawhi Leonard's going to end up, but I laughed when I saw the report that Kawhi and his camp originally only wanted to meet with Jeannie Buss from the Lakers officials. But now they're, quote, considering expanding that to Rob Pelinka. They're considering meeting with the general manager of the team, which is just laughable.
Didn't I see a story at one point they wanted to meet with Jeannie and Magic, even though Magic
doesn't
work anymore?
Yes.
It's nice to be king. And right now, Kawhi Leonard's king. So whatever he wants, he's going to get, not just in terms of money, but in terms of who he meets with and how he meets with them. Remember when Durant was a free agent before he signed with the Warriors, when he was spending 4th of July weekend in the Hamptons?
Oh, yeah.
And all those teams got on airplanes and flew to the Hamptons to meet with him. The mountain went to Muhammad. And it was worth it for the Warriors, as it turned out, that's for sure. But, yeah, who knows what Kawhi Leonard is thinking? I mean, that's why I laugh when I see every single day, doesn't it seem there's a different report, quote-unquote report,
mm-hmm.
on what Kawhi Leonard, he wants to go to the Lakers and play with LeBron James. No, he wants to go to the Clippers and play for Doc Rivers. He wants to stay on the West Coast. No, he might go to the East Coast. I mean, who the heck knows? You know what he should do? He should stay with the Raptors and try to win another title. That's what he should. I mean, he could be the Prime Minister of Canada if he wanted to be. And I'm a big fan of Trudeau, by the way. But he could be the Prime Minister of Canada. if he stayed there. I think sometimes players forget that if you stay in a place, Durant is not doing this, but if you stay in a place, you create legacy. And you know, that's what Jordan did, staying in Chicago all those years. That's what Magic did. That's what Steph Curry is certainly doing. Klay Thompson, to a lesser extent. When it's all said and done, you know, the money is great to have. You know, people always say money can't buy happiness. Sonny Werblin once said to me, the guy who owned the Jets, who signed Joe Namath, said to me, you know, money can't buy happiness, but it doesn't hurt. So the money's good, but they're all going to get their money now, the stars. And when it's all said and done, what do they have? They have their legacy. And I think Kawhi Leonard has a chance to carve a special legacy if he stays in Toronto. I think Durant had a chance to carve a special legacy if he stayed in Golden State, but I don't think he liked being Steph Curry's wingman. It reminds me of years ago when I was doing my book on Mike Messina and Tom Glavine. I was asking Messina about Alex Rodriguez because he was about the only guy in the Yankees who got along with him. And he always called him Rod as opposed to A-Rod. He would say Rod. And I said, well, what's his deal? And he said, you know, think about this for a minute. For years you're told you're the greatest talent in of your generation in baseball and maybe of all generations. And then you get to New York and you're told, yeah, that might be so, but you're no Derek Jeter. And that's what Durant had in Golden State. You're great. You're two-time finals MVP. You're going to the Hall of Fame. But you're no Steph Curry. And I think that's why he left.
Major League Baseball went to London over the weekend. We'll get John's thoughts on that, and I'll ask him about the Mets paying tribute to their finest team, which included two dead guys who are alive.
The 69 Mets. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
Let me introduce you to Brymack Mechanical and Tennessee Heating and Cooling. Their HVAC and maintenance services provide reliable, timely, and superior work in both the commercial and the residential markets. We like locally owned companies run by good family people around here. Well, Chris Hamby, the owner and president, is a U.S. Navy veteran, and his company's called Brymack because his son is Bryant and his daughter is Mackenzie. Brymack Mechanical and Tennessee Heating and Cooling services all of Middle Tennessee. Chris recently sent two workers out to my house, serviced my system, which is running as smoothly and as efficiently as it ever has. Greg Germain and Davis Moore were incredibly nice and trustworthy and very thorough. Brymack Mechanical and Tennessee Heating and Cooling can implement a complete HVAC service plan for all types of commercial equipment. That includes on-demand repair maintenance. And they can do preventative maintenance programs for both residential and commercial buildings. Contact them today to learn how Brymack Mechanical and Tennessee Heating and Cooling can tailor its HVAC and full maintenance services to fit the needs and desires you have for your home or facility. Call them to set up an appointment, 931-572-5750, or visit tennhc.com. That's 931-572-5750 or TENNHC.com.
John Davenport.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John Feinstein with us.
So the New York Post's Joel Sherman, who I think is a good baseball reporter, was over there for the London series, and he said that everywhere he went, on the tube and all around London, he asked Londoners what they knew about the baseball series, and that a very high percentage of people he talked to said they had no idea it was happening.
Right.
And that MLB did a bad job marketing it over there. Obviously, getting over there is getting over there. What's the value of what they're doing, and what's it tell you to hear that most people didn't know what was going on?
Well, let me say this. I don't particularly care to see games in any sport played overseas, but the reason they're done is not so much for selling tickets, although I didn't check the attendance yesterday, but I know on Saturday it was like 60,000.
Yeah, both very good.
Yeah, so they drew good crowds, but it's more about marketing the brand, getting people to buy Yankee or Red Sox logo gear and things like that, and having people walking around wearing that gear and being able to sell sponsorships over there and to come back and do it again the next year. Obviously, the NFL has continued to expand its so-called London series to the point where, as you guys know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have been giving up a home game every single year to play over there. So, and the other thing I would remind you, London is a bigger city than New York. London is a humongous city. And I know, for example, when the Final Four went to New York in 1996, they played across the river in the Meadowlands, but it was based in New York for the week. The city just swallowed it up. And that's why they haven't gone back to New York for a Final Four. Because, the Final Four could take place in New York, and most of New Yorkers might not even know it. I'm guessing that was the same with the baseball. Now, the one thing I will say is it's a good thing those two games were played in London, because if yesterday's game had been a Sunday night game, it might still be going on, because the Yankees and Red Sox don't play in less than 4 hours, no matter what. And 50 runs in two games, I mean, to me, that's unwatchable. I mean, it's a shame the Red Sox missed the extra point on Saturday. Otherwise, it might have been more competitive at the end.
So, John, Megan Rapinoe made statements about not wanting to go to the White House back in January. They surfaced last week. She came back with a second statement, and I know President Trump came back and said, "Hey, let's win the World Cup first. Let's produce, and then we can talk about the White House."
Well, he invited them already, though.
Yeah, he did. He invited them, and he said, let's also go and win the World Cup. She went out there and scored two goals in a win over France. Well, what did you make about the last week with her?
She scored the last four goals for the U.S.
Yes.
In the last two games, both 2-1 wins. So she's certainly producing on the field.
I
mean, it's got to be killing Trump that the person on that team who's been most outspoken against him is emerging at least to now in the last two games as the team's biggest star. Alex Morgan scored those five goals in the game where Paul wanted him to score 50, but I don't think she scored since. Has she, Paul?
No, she hasn't. She's not played very well at all since.
Yeah, so, obviously she's not going to go if they win. There's at least one other player who said she's not going to go if they win. It'll be very interesting if they do win. And I think, Paul, you know more about this than me, but I think they're going to have a tougher game against England than they did against France. I think England's better than France from just a little
playing better right now anyway.
Yeah. And but if they do go ahead and win, I'll be very curious to see how the rest of the team reacts.
The men did not play very well at all yesterday. A tournament that they should automatically be in the finals of, the Gold Cup, with Mexico on the other side. They're coming to Nashville Wednesday night against Jamaica. Berhalter, a new coach, installing a new system, a young roster. They won some games big and looked pretty good. They looked horrible last night and still got it done. How important for them, with the women's thing going on at the same time, to kind of make any kind of mark?
Well, in soccer, I always defer to you, Paul, and I mean that sincerely, but they were on square one after not making the World Cup last year. I mean, that was a horrible humiliation, you losing that game to Trinidad and Tobago and not even making it into the World Cup. So they're basically starting over. New coaching staff, a lot of new players, as you said. To me, everything they should be doing should be building towards the start of World Cup qualifying. And play the young guys, see what they've got, see what they don't have. And when you start World Cup qualifying, be in a position where it's a no-brainer that you're going to get into the 2022 World Cup, because after all, who wouldn't want to go to Qatar?
I'm no 69 Mets guy. I was born in 69. Jim Gosker and Jesse Hudson, do you think they enjoyed the tributes to them as dead while
being
they were
undead,
watching them live?
Being undead? Look, the Mets, Lefty Driesell once said about his boss that he could screw up a one-car funeral. The Mets have proven they can screw up a no-car funeral. Now, I will say this. Gosker and Hudson were not on the World Series roster. They were on the team during 69. that doesn't mean they deserve to die when they're not dead. And there were five members of the World Series team, important members, Tommy Agee, Don Clendenin, Hug McGraw. I'm blocking on the other two, but there's five, Ed Charles, five who did pass away, and which isn't that surprising after 50 years. The thing that bothered me the most, as somebody, I mean, I saw 66 of those 69 games live at Shea Stadium, paid $1.30 to sit in the upper deck throughout that regular season, and I was in the ballpark for the Black Cat with the Cubs. I saw every postseason game, cut school to do it. So that team meant a lot to me. And the thing that really bothers me is they didn't get around to honoring Tom Seaver, who was the franchise. That was one of his two nicknames, the other being Tom Terrific, with no apologies to Tom Brady. But they didn't get around to doing it until he's dying of dementia and is in such bad shape he could not come to the 50th anniversary celebration. They should have named, built a statue to him and named the ballpark, the address, Seaver Way 20 years ago. Or 25 years ago. I mean, he was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1991, for crying out loud. So why they wait until he's got dementia and doesn't even know what they're doing. I mean, that's what I mean about how incredibly screwed up this franchise is. And I get a little emotional about it because I grew up a Mets fan.
That's why Paul brought it up. He knew you would.
There's a great tweet out that says, you got to bereave.
That's funny, actually. That's actually very funny. The fifth Met who passed away, by the way, is Don Cardwell. I could name that the entire World Series roster, but I wouldn't bore your listeners with that. That's how much that team meant.
Good lullaby.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Yes. You know, the other night at dinner, I was out to dinner with my wife and daughter, and a guy who works in this restaurant who's a Mets fan started talking to me about the 69 celebration. And I said, I could name the entire roster. And he said, go ahead. So I did. And my wife and daughter almost left halfway through. They were like, seriously, you're doing this to us? So I won't do it to you guys.
John, thank you. Have a great 4th.
Same to you guys. Enjoy the 4th. I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. John Feinstein joins us each Monday, recapping the national headlines. 615-737-1045. Remember, we have not opened up the phones today until right now. 737-1045. If you'd like to jump in, react to Matt Duchene, who is signing a long-term contract right here in Nashville. The Preds seemingly get their guy. And we've got contract details, signing bonus details, no trade clause details, a lot of it coming from Pierre LeBrun. We'll have that for you next.
Matt Duchene, Ryan Mudd, two of the biggest stories in the city right now. Whatever one you want to talk about.
How is Mudd not trending?
615-737-1045. Don't know that we want that. 737-1045 if you want to jump in.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. At Music City Autoplex, the goal is to fit you with the perfect quality pre-owned vehicle in your perfect budget. Choose from their array of certified pre-owned vehicles priced to sell, period. No gimmicks needed, no outrageous claims. 2430 Gallatin Pike, just north of Rivergate. Maybe you're off all week with the holiday, the 4th of July holiday. Swing by Music City Autoplex and check out all of their inventory. 2430 Gallatin Pike, 15 minutes from downtown. I know firsthand through my purchase, they went above and beyond to ensure that I had the best car buying experience. They will do the same for you. For me, it occurred before I even stepped on their lot. It's at MusicCityAutoplex.com. You can view 35 photos of each car, and they even offer a collection of Autoplex-certified vehicles, many of which one-owner cars with low miles. If you're in the market for crew cab trucks, late-model Lexus or Audis, they've got them all at industry-best, low, low prices. Bottom line, buying a car is a big deal. It's one of the largest purchases we ever make. Be sure you buy from people you can trust, people who possess an uncommon level of integrity. Those are the people you'll find at Music City Autoplex. 2430 Gallatin Pike, just north of Rivergate. And again, check them out online. Their other address, MusicCityAutoplex.com.